Giamatti going with back-to-back Ramones. I'm liking it. Loving it right here on that 590 show. 590 The Fan, 105.7 AC2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is Lou Korak. He covers the Blues for NHL.com. You can follow him on Twitter at LKorak10. Lou, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. How was your 4th of July, sir? What'd you do?
Nice. Just relaxed with some friends and was able to enjoy some fireworks and just kind of made it a chill night, you know?
Seems like that's what everybody kind of did with the 4th of July. Everybody just kind of chilled out and you know, didn't do anything too crazy. Roger.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice night and you just kind of sat back and soaked it in and enjoyed it, because you better enjoy it, because before you know it, this stuff on the ice is going to start kicking back up before you know it.
You're right about that. The great Roger Ebert, film critic Roger Ebert from the Chicago Sun-Times, he said that the 4th of July was his favorite holiday, and he had some big, huge house on a ton of acreage outside of Chicago, and everybody would go to his house for the 4th of July for a huge barbecue picnic that he would pay for, and then a karaoke contest, and then fireworks that he would also pay for, too. Sounded like a great time to me. When I heard that, I'm like, how do I get invited?
Heck yeah. I mean, I don't think it's something that I can pony up, but I always remembered back in the day when I was going through school, I always kind of looked at the 4th of July as the midway point of the summer, and you're like, all right, now we're into the downward, you know, walk of the mountain, and school will be here before you know it.
Yeah, we were talking about that on Monday, how by this weekend you're already going to see back to school commercials on TV. For,
are
like, you
kidding
know,
me? I saw those back in June.
Yeah, actually, I did too. I remember seeing on Staples and Office Max already advertising
crazy.
Back to school. I'm like, didn't they just get out and now we're going to send them right back?
Yeah.
Man.
It's a whole different time, man. It's a whole different time.
What are you hearing about Patrick Berglund and his shoulder injury? How serious is it, and when can they expect him back on the ice?
Well, Doug Armstrong told us, you know, they'll reevaluate him in December, and just something that obviously kind of came out of nowhere for him. More or less, you know, it was an accident training back in Sweden, and you know, he slipped and fell while pulling on a sled. I don't know many more details about it. I know that's been reported by a few different people. You know, Doug Armstrong didn't get into any of the details, but he just said it was a training accident and had surgery, dislocated shoulder, and you know, when you're talking December, you're pushing into about getting close to the midway point of the season, so they're going to have to reshuffle the deck here a little bit. And you know, I'm sure that the two didn't coincide together, but what perfect timing being able to acquire a guy like Braden Schenn to add to your lineup, because now they're going to be able to plug him into the middle of the ice to add to guys probably like Paul Stastny, Vladimir Sobotka, and Kyle Brodziak. I would look at those guys to be your top four when the season starts, and I don't want to say you're not going to miss a beat, but when you add a Braden Schenn to the lineup, you got to be pretty pleased with that.
Were you surprised that Doug Armstrong was able to pull that trade off? Basically, you know, Yuri Lotero for Braden Schenn. Were you surprised that he was able to do that?
You know what, man, I'll be honest with you. I talked to him the night of the draft, and he said that that's something that has been on their radar for a bit. He circled around a couple of times to Flyers GM Ron Hextall just to let him know that, you know, if he were able to put Braden Schenn on the market to keep him in mind, that they were definitely interested in it. He said it wasn't something that they were necessarily pushing, but whenever he got that call from Ron Hextall saying that, you know, maybe there's something that they can work out in a deal, the Blues jumped on it, and it was something that was very amicable, and, you know, they were able to work out something pretty quickly. You know, it happened fast, and, you know, it was a swap of some salary, and the Blues are gaining a little bit of average annual value there with Braden Schenn at 5.125, and you know, getting rid of Yuri Lehterä as 4.7, you know, million-dollar AAV hit was something that they were looking to do, and you know, it didn't come without a price. I mean, you had to give up 2 number one picks. Obviously, they were able to draft back into the first round and you know, get what a lot of people are thinking is a gem. But you know, it was some pretty good creativity in order to get that done. I mean, you're getting a 25-year-old centerman who's just in the prime of his career, I think, who had two of the best years of his NHL career the last 2 years with the Flyers, scoring 51 goals and getting, I believe it was 114 points. So I think you're starting to scratch the surface. You're going to be getting him into the best years of his career, and you've got him locked up for the next 3 years as opposed to Letarris too. So I think it was a pretty good stroke of genius, and you're going to get a determined guy that was playing on the wing in the Flyers system, and that was a system there that was just overloaded with center icemen, and Braden Schenn's a natural center, and the Blues are going to look at him in the middle and feel like that they're going to be getting a good one there.
Do you think he starts the first line or second line?
I think he'll be a second line guy. I think they're going to give Paul Stastny that opportunity to skate on the top line. But you know what, I'll be honest with you, when you're talking about the Blues, And the last couple of coaches, even going back to Ken Hitchcock, and Mike Yost, really the same way. I don't think they necessarily view it as a first line, second line, third line, fourth line. They give these guys ample amount of opportunity and ample roles. Yeah, I mean, there's guys on the team that get more minutes than the other, but when you're talking first and second line on this team, they're very interchangeable. So I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of difference there. Whether you call one guy the top centerman, whether you call him the second line centerman, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference there. But you're going to be probably looking at those guys as your top two, your 1-2 punch.
And I think it would also, they're going to take into consideration who they think has the best chemistry with Vladimir Tarasenko during training camp too. They're like,
absolutely.
Hey, Shin and Tarasenko, man, they seem to play really well together. Shin's got to be our top line center.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, that's what training camp is all about. Mike Yeo's going to get his first opportunity as the head guy there, and something that he's already identified as something he's looking forward to. And I think he's going to use that time where he's going to mix and match guys. He's going to see who's got that mojo going together right off the bat, and who might be slide in with somebody else. And that's what this is all about. I think the one thing that I came to appreciate with Mike Yeo last year was when he saw something that worked, he tended to stick with it. I mean, no disrespect to Ken Hitchcock, but he would stick with guys for a couple games, and then once something didn't necessarily go that way, he was looking to mix and match on a dime, and he did it pretty quickly. And there was a reason why he's been so successful. I mean, he's got his own, he's got his own thoughts to what he wants to do. But Mike Yeo tends to stick with guys when he feels like they're playing together, and he's not going to shuffle the deck as quickly. So training camp's going to be pretty important. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to give Braden Schenn a look with Vladimir Tarasenko. There's got to be somebody there that's going to, that's going to be instantaneously be able to get him the puck in the right areas and be able to have that coordination together. So it's going to be interesting and something that I'm looking forward to, definitely.
Luke Korak, Blues beat writer for NHL.com, joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at LKorak10. Colton Parayko, what kind of contract do you think he can expect? What do you think expect the Blues to give him? And can it be done before training camp starts?
Yeah, Doug Armstrong has maintained that's a pretty big focus for them. I think that's why you saw that they weren't real aggressive with some of the bigger name free agents. And, they took some shots at some guys that were, veteran guys that were in that 35 or over range, maybe looking to give them like a one-year incentive-laden deal that could perhaps maybe help in their top six, top nine on the wing. But, they had to save some cap space for Parayko. Listen, they're going to make this kid a priority. And he's going to be an important part of this team moving forward. Doug Armstrong has maintained that, this could be a shorter-term deal, but this gives them the flexibility to go long-term. I think from the team perspective, they'd like to go long-term because they'd like to get some of his potential unrestricted free agent years locked up and under team control, and that's why I think they're going to pay him well. And if I had to take a guess, and obviously you get a pretty good sense of what you think his value is going to be, it wouldn't shock me if he's in that for a ceiling in that $6 to $6.5 million per year range. And this could be one of those where the negotiations can go like, you can ask for max dollar, but if we give you the term, how about maybe giving us a little bit of, monetary value coming back in return, so both sides are happy. So I think it's going to go pretty well here. Doug Armstrong has made some contact, obviously, with Parayko's representatives. They've had some dialogue Obviously, we haven't gotten any confirmation yet on any deals, but you know, it could happen at any time. They've maintained that that's going to be a priority, and Doug Armstrong has said on a number of times that Colton Parayko is going to be a St. Louis Blue for a long time, and you know, he hasn't beat around the bush when it comes to that. And yes, I think it'll be done well before training camp starts, and they'll be able to make those plans moving forward. So we could expect an announcement at any time, but you know, he had to file for salary arbitration yesterday. Yesterday at 4 o'clock was the deadline. Just to me, it was kind of a formality thing, just so you're prepared in case you have to go that route. But my guess is it's not going to get there. You never know, though. You have to protect yourself. But I think, you know, you're going to see a long-term deal done here for Colton Parayko in the near future, and he's going to be a cornerstone defenseman for this team for a long time.
How Canadian is it that Connor McDavid gets this huge contract from the Edmonton Oilers, and he's like, oh, no, it's just too much money. You got to lessen that by a little bit. I mean, it just seems like such a Canadian thing to do. You know, be like, oh, you're going to try to – oh, no, come on. That is way too much money. Don't pay me that.
I thought that was very interesting. But you know what? Awesome that he was –
oh, yeah. I'm not knocking it for it. I just find it like – it's a – to me, it seems like a very Canadian thing to do.
Yeah, it was – I didn't expect to see that, and I thought some of the national guys also, you know, put some of those comments out there, and some of the writers that cover the Oilers and media members that cover them were like taken aback by that, like, wow, you know, here's a bona fide superstar player and a superstar in the making, and it's going to continue to just get greater and greater on the ice. He's willing to give the team some flexibility there when it's there's going to come a time where, you know, they're going to have to get creative with some of the contracts that they have. And, you know, it may not be millions of dollars, but whatever he was able to leave on the table, that gives them some flexibility when they have to deal with the cap in the future. So it's commendable by him. You're talking about a 19, 20-year-old kid. You know, he still is a kid to me.
Yeah, absolutely he is.
I mean, it's a great thing to do. It's very modest. It's very noble of him to do that, and it just shows you that they've got themselves a tremendous captain moving forward, youngest captain in the league, and you know, when you're doing things like that, it only solidifies the faith that you had in him, and you know, he's going to do nothing but reward that franchise with a number of great years of hockey, and I just think that's great now that you see an athlete that's not necessarily looking out for the betterment of himself. Listen, he's going to get paid well, okay? Let's make no mistake about it, but I think you still have to commend the athlete, because you see too many instances out there where athletes are looking for max dollar just and they talk about protecting themselves. Whether he's making, what, $13.5 million or $12.5 million, come on, he's still going to get paid well. So, but whatever you do leave on the table, you still have to commend him for doing it.
I think you're seeing a trend now in professional sports. You're talking about Connor McDavid, you know, wanting to give the team some cap relief and some flexibility. And you saw that in the NBA with Kevin Durant. I mean, you think about the money that he could have commanded as a free agent with the Golden State Warriors. He ends up taking a deal that's $9 million a year less than what he could probably have made. And then in the NFL, you saw Derek Carr when he was negotiating with the Raiders. He was like, okay, you know, if we do this, can we still sign Gabe Jackson? Can we still give Khalil Mack his money? So you're seeing athletes more and more conscious about that, as opposed to saying, okay, what's the most I can make? That's how much you're going to pay me. I don't care about anything else.
Right. I mean, it just goes to show you that, you know, when fans, you know, kind of give that sarcastic remark of, yeah, right, they want to win. Well, they do. I mean, that's a perfect example of it. I mean, again, they're making a lot of money, but on the other hand, they're still leaving some flexibility there to what can I do to give us the best chance to win a championship. And I think, like you said with Kevin Durant, that's a perfect example of it. I mean, hey, he just went out and won himself a title. You know, at Golden State, he sees a window there where they can continue to be great moving forward. And I think when, you know, going back to hockey, I think that's what Connor McDavid understands, that the Oilers, there's something in the making there. I mean, are they going to become that 80s Oilers team with Gretzky and Curry and Anderson and Messier and Grant Fuhr and Paul Coffey and those guys that they had? that's yet to be seen. I mean, that was a dynasty, for God's sakes. Are they going to be anything like that? I don't want to put him on that kind of a pedestal, but I think he understands that, you know, they're building something there now, and he wants to be a big part of it, and he wants to leave some flexibility there so when they do continue to add pieces that they're eventually going to get to the pinnacle.
Luke Horak, we appreciate your time this evening, sir. Hope you have a great weekend, and we look forward to having you on again soon.
Thanks, Matt. Anytime.
Thanks, Lou. That is Luke Horak, beat writer for the Blues on NHL.com. You can follow him on Twitter at LKorak10. But it's amazing, Rock, how you're seeing that now more and more, where these athletes are basically just taking less money to help out the team. And before that, you never saw that.
Well, you still don't see it very often. I mean, we see it we got Kevin Durant, Connor McDavid. I can't count the other ones. Every time we hear it in football, it's actually a restructuring. The guy gets paid more money in cash, actually, but then his cap doesn't hit. I mean, actually, guys taking pay cuts from the market. We've seen it a couple times maybe in baseball. Cardinals, we've heard about hometown deals there. But other than that, it happens few and far between. And when it does...
But you're seeing it with big name people, though.
I think
Connor McDavid, Kevin Durant, and Derek Carr.
I'm saying this has got to be two or three of the biggest ones we've seen in the last 10, 15 years. I mean, even the Derek Carr one, I'm skeptical that he actually gave up money. Because with football, whenever somebody tells me a quarterback gave up money, I roll my eyes and say... No, he didn't. The seven different times Tom Brady restructured and had an extra $5 million in cash proves that. But very different when it's all guaranteed contracts.
Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up, joining us in studio will be Luke Roberts and the neon icon Justin Dier from Dynamo Pro Wrestling. They have an event tomorrow night in Grafton, Illinois, the Riot on the River. They're going to be up next to tell us all about it. You're listening to that 590 show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
Tell me what you really like. Baby, I can take my time. We don't ever have to fight. Just take it step by step. I can see it in your eyes, 'cause they never tell me lies. I can feel that body shake.